leading, but the message that I want to share with you has to do with what to do when you're having a hard time sleeping at night, or speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the way I came upon this is, you know, my upbringing, man, born and raised in the hood, in Novadio, crazy family, craziness of many different types when you're born in the inner city like that, and you got some crazy uncles, and you've seen some crazy things happen, and then God shows up, right? And in our story, my mom got radically saved. In our story, that's how things happened in our faith story. Jesus really came to radically change my mom. There was a little Salvadorian lady that was talking to her about Jesus for more than two, going on three. And this Salvadorian lady was really just faithful to God and her calling to witness, to let her life shine. My mom was her boss. And she just shares her faith with my mother and constantly, you know, just letting her light shine and being like Christ and just love, letting the love flow and shine through. And my mom would met that love with so much resistance, so much anger, so much bitterness, so much kind of hate against all the good things that God wanted to do in her life, and just really fought it all the way through. And push comes to shove. And, you know, they had a special event. They were having a special speaker at church at this charismatic Pentecostal church. And the lady for all of a sudden for about a week wasn't eating. And my mom would go to her and ask her, hey, aren't you going to eat today? And the lady said, no. And my mom says, are you sure? I'll buy you some lunch. Are you having a hard time? Maybe, you know, don't worry, I've got it. And the lady said, oh, no, I'm not hungry. I just decided not to eat this week. I'm not very hungry. And then, so the next day, my mom would say, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing today? You want something to eat? I'll buy you something. I'll cover you. I'll pay for it. Don't worry. And Lace says, oh, no, I'm asking, you know, I'm just really setting that aside. I'm just really, wanting something even more than food can offer. My mom says, okay, that's kind of strange. But next day, my mom says, hey, is something wrong? Are you sick? You're sick, aren't you? What did the doctor tell you? How come you haven't said anything? Oh my God. And the lady says, no, actually, you know, I'm hungering for something more. I'm believing that, you know, something great is going to happen at the end of this week. And so Thursday comes and the lady's still not eating. And the lady says, she tells my mom, you know, I'm eating, but I'm eating in a different way. And God is really doing something very special in my life. And I've just used this time to get close to God. And then on the fifth day, Friday, my mom is questioning. She's totally interested. She wants to know what in the world is going on. Why isn't this lady eating? And what is it that she's asking God for? And so on Friday, the lady asked my mom, you know, I would like to invite you to go to church with me this Sunday. And my mom listens and wonders, and she's been asking for more than 2 years now. And my mom, this time something was different. The lady says this. She says, listen, if you go to church with me this Sunday, I'll never invite you again. And my mom says, are you serious? She says, yeah, absolutely. If you go to church with me this Sunday, I promise I will never invite you again. And my mom says, well, why is that? And my mom says, because after you go to church with me this Sunday, you will never stop going. And my mom says, all right. So my mom shows up in church. Non-Christian family, really non-Catholic, non-a lot of things. We kind of grew up with some weird stuff everywhere. You know, my family, you know, my mom couldn't make up her mind, man. We had a little bit of everything. We had a little Buddha when you walked in the door. We had a big Catholic Bible in the center table that was white, never got red, just collected dust. You went out in the backyard. We had things hanging from the trees. I don't know what they were, but they were meant to keep away the cucuy. Does anybody know about the cucuy here? All right, that's that Spanish word. It means like little bitty tiny ghosts. And so all these things going on. And, you know, we didn't even know what we were, right? So my mom shows up to this charismatic Christian church. And they preach Jesus. They preach so much how much God loves you and how God has a purpose and plan for your life. They preach the forgiveness of sins. And she responded to that altar call that day. And everything in our home changed. Everything in our home changed. And it began with my mother. And we began to change. God began to do something in her in order to do something through her. And one of the things is for sure, watch out for a praying mom, right? Watch out for a praying mom. Boy, the Holy Ghost is going to get you. Right? The Holy Ghost knows your name, number, beeper, cell phone, everything, right? The Spirit of the Lord just, you know, the hounds of heaven will come after you. And in my personal life, believe it or not, things got worse before they got better. Because I was running. I was running as fast as I could. And my mom kept praying. Mom kept interceding. My mom kept standing in the gap. My mom kept believing and trusting the Lord. So here I am coming, growing up in this neighborhood. I got two dead uncles because of gang violence and drug dealing. I've got other relatives that have died since from kind of the same things. And this is our family trajectory. It really is going south until my mom gets saved and she begins to pray. She begins to cry out to the Lord and gets heaven's attention. And that which was in heaven began to be manifested here on earth. And there were major breakthroughs that took place. And like I said, my life really got better before it got worse, because there were several instances where, you know, kind of near-death experiences. But I always sensed this praying mom. And a couple of times I'd get home at night and I could hear some, you know, when you go to charismatic Pentecostal church, like I love what Pastor Sam just said, how things of the Spirit are caught and not taught. I walked into the house one night. I can remember it was a real crazy night, and I make it home alive, and I was thankful for that. And so there I am. I'm walking into the door, and I could hear this rumbling happening, coming out of my mom's room. And I thought, hey, wait a second, what is that? You know, when you're not a Christian, you don't exactly understand everything that God's doing. I said, wait a second, that's not English, because I know English. It's not Spanish, because I speak el español. And I said, I'm not really sure what that is. And finally figured out it was a third language called her prayer language. She was speaking in tongues. And for someone who didn't grow up that way, didn't know anything about that, was absolutely unaware, here were all these amazing, great things that God was doing in and through my mother. And it is as a result of her prayers that her prayer was answered. And I think because of those prayers, you know, I'm here. And not only am I blessed, but my children are blessed. Our family is blessed. We are blessed. It's just a wonderful thing. So I just want to share a little bit of my story there, since Sam says that I like hitting people and tackling them and punishing them. It is not true. Just for the record, Jesus has saved me and set me free. Now, after I hit them and run over them, I typically pray for them. But I want to talk to you tonight. You know, sometimes we do have a hard time sleeping at night. Sometimes we do have a hard time adjusting. Sometimes, man, last night I slept like a baby boy. And last night was not one of those nights, right? When you're jet lagging and everything, went to breakfast and had a wonderful time hanging out with Pastor Sam and Lisa, and then got back. Didn't know I was tired until I put my head down on the pillow, and then that was it, right? But there can be times where maybe you're not so tired, you're not so comfortable, and there's not so much peace. And there are things that can cause drama at night that can keep you from sleeping. We have three small children, three beautiful babies. They're grown now, but they're still babies to us. Well, they're a little bit bigger than they were when they were born. One is 12 years old. His name is Josiah. Man, he's got a great heart for God, very tender heart for God, very sensitive. We pray with them every night. Either most of the time, mom or dad or we'll pray with them. We have two girls, Tabitha and Isabella, and we pray with them and we teach them to pray. Josiah's at the level where it's like, hey, buddy, I'm going to pray for these things. What part are you going to pray for? Okay, good. So we're standing in the gap together. We're teaching them and training them up in the Lord. He's 12. He's about 5'6". He's just a wonderful man. He's already involved in church. He's the camera guy, so he runs the cameras. He's involved in things that involve tech, and he's kind of into that. And then we have our Isabella. She's about 10 years old. She just turned 10. She loves to sing and dance and play the piano and all things theater. We figured out that she probably wasn't going to be the sports, young gal in sports. We put her in basketball. And we paid a couple hundred dollars for her to go to basketball camp. And we, at the end of the day, we would pick her up. We noticed that she wasn't playing. And so we'd ask, hey, what happened today? She says, oh, my stomach was hurting, so I wasn't able to play a whole lot. When we talked to the coach person, the coach said, oh, yeah, about the first or second hour, his stomach started hurting. We said, oh, okay, bummer, next day. Next day, we'd say, hey, Isabella, how are you? How did it go today? Oh, well, somebody threw the ball, and it hit me in the stomach, so then I didn't feel good. So then I said, Isabella, how did it go the third day? Well, the ball was coming to me, and I turned around, and it hit my shoulder, so then I couldn't move my arm the whole day. I said, oh, my God, oh, basketball is not for you. And but she just comes alive when she's on stage. An amazing thing. And then my third is Tabitha, and she's fuego status. She's fireball. For Tabitha, we're not sure if she's going to be a CEO or a police officer or something, you know, something crazy. But Tabitha is just amazing. So we try her out in soccer, and mom told her, okay, Mika, you're ready to play soccer? You want to play soccer? Tabitha said, yeah. She said, so what do I do? You just go get the ball. Okay. And Tabitha says, yeah, but what happens if somebody else has the ball? And then Asanat says, well, just go get the ball and take it away from them and get the ball. She says, Mom, what happens if I knock them down and hurt them? And Asanat says, you don't have to do that, but if it happens, it's okay, because Pastor Sam told a story about that. No, I'm just kidding. Brother, you're going to make me famous for the wrong reasons, man. Come on now. But sometimes you'll have a hard time sleeping at night, whether it's because you have a newborn child, whether it's an illness, whether it's a problem or a decision you have to make. Sometimes you can have a hard time sleeping at night, but then there are times when you have a hard time sleeping, because possibly it is a stirring of the Lord. Possibly it is a stirring of the Lord. Possibly it's a rumbling of the Spirit. Possibly there's an uneasiness because of the uneasiness that is of the Spirit. Possibly there is something that God is dealing with you about, something that God is speaking you about, something that is keeping you up at night because there is something you still have to catch, and then something that you have to make intelligible, something that you have to make sense of, something you have to that you have to come to grips with, so to speak. And so there are times where that sense of which we can't sleep at night is because God is not done with us. God is trying to teach us something. God is trying to show us something. God is trying to cause us to step up and step into something, or to step out, or to step over, or to make a certain decision, or to come to grips with something that God's calling us and are asking us to do. And so there is these times in our lives where there is a stirring of the Spirit. So I want to turn your attention today to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Turn in the Bible with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to look at the story of Samuel in a way that stirring happens, the way that stirring takes place, in the sense of what God does is something that we can all learn from here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The Bible says that the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. The Bible says that this young boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And the Bible also says that in those days the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. I just want to pray as we move into this time here and just ask God to continue to guide and lead us. And Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for the moving of your Spirit. We thank you for the testimony of the Spirit, just the guiding, the leading, the witness of the Spirit, and the way your Spirit creates new things, brings new life, Lord God, opens up new horizons, new trajectories, Lord God, changes and transforms us, Lord God, and makes us your instrument. So we're praying you would speak to us as a body, as a community, as a people today, in Christ's name. Amen. So here's this story, and the story begins with Samuel, and the Bible talks about Samuel before the Lord and the serving under Eli. And the Bible says in verse 2 that one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and he laid down. And again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." And now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, for the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And a third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." It's interesting that this young boy that at this time is really just a young kid, and that would later become a prophet and a priest and a judge, would be used greatly by God to establish the nation of Israel, greatly by God to anoint the king Saul, and also King David, would use greatly by God in a powerful way. So first of all, what I want to look at is a sense in which Samuel is positioned by the Lord. Samuel is positioned by the Lord early on in his life, even as a small child, even as a small boy. Samuel is positioned by the Lord and involved in what God wants to do. Samuel is positioned in a way that God wants to do something great in his life. But what's interesting is the story really doesn't begin with Samuel. The story begins with his mother, Hannah. Come on, somebody say amen. The Lord's story begins with the Lord dealing, depositing something in her heart that wasn't supposed to happen, that wouldn't have happened unless she cried out and believed for the impossible, unless she called upon the Lord, unless she was determined in her faith to seek God, to believe God, to trust God for the impossible to take place in her life. And in the same time, she made a promise. She made a vow. She made a commitment to the Lord. She made a decision, and she was determined to see it come to pass. And you know what? She prayed and she cried out to God, and she asked God for a child because she wasn't able to bear one. She asked God for a baby. She asked God for a child that she would be able to commit and dedicate fully and entirely to the service of the Lord. And you know what happens? The Bible says that God answers her prayer, that God answers her prayer, that God fulfills the promise. And you know what else happens? The Bible says that God fulfilled her promise and Hannah fulfilled hers too. Come on, somebody say amen. She dedicated that child to the Lord. She made a vow. She made a promise. She committed. She said, "God, if you do this thing for me, I'm going to do this thing for you. God, if you show up in this way, if you move powerfully and so-and-so, I'm going to act in this way, and I'm going to obey you according to the promise that I've given." And she made it. She did it. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I don't know about you, but man, there's times in my life before knowing the Lord, I made all kinds of promises to God, right? One was when my mom got ill. My mom had two tumors in her knees, and, you know, she'd go to the doctor, and back in those days, they took x-rays and they took scans, and, you know, they had your name printed out on them and the date and things of that nature, and then they'd take those scans and they kind of give you the bad news, and then they'd send you to a specialist. And my mom came home with those scans one day, and there they are, and she's got tumors in her knees, and have been hurting her for a long time. My mom grew up in, you know, a lot of manual labor most of her life and working really hard, and man, she used to have bigger muscles than I did. Boy, my mom was strong, and when she spanked you, it hurt, you know. That's why I know she was strong, boy, because, whoo, it was painful. And so here she is. She comes home. "I'm not a Christian. I'm not walking with God. I don't know Jesus, and our family's not committed to anything other than my mom's faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So all this stuff is new to us." And my mom, she says, "Well, before I go see the specialist, I'm going to go to church." She says, before I go see the specialist, I'm going to have the elders of the church and the pastors and the ministers pray for me. Before I go see the specialist, I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust God. And my mom used to read the Bible, and she put her faith and her trust in the promises of the Word of God. And this was all new to her, but she believed that if God said it, God would do it. And that settled it. And, you know, that was where she was at. And so my mom goes to church, and the elders of the church and this Hispanic church, a lot of people from Latin America and a pastor from Peru. And my mom goes to church, and they prayed for her, and they anointed her with oil. And my mom shows up to the doctor's office, and the doctor looks at the scans, and he looks at these tumors, and they do some different scans, and they want to get a better view and better look and different angles and whatever, what have you. And they bring out these new x-rays. They lay the x-rays with the tumors on them, have her name on them, digitized, stamped, dated, things of that nature with these new x-rays. And the doctor says, well, these x-rays can't be your x-rays. And my mom says, well, why is that? She says, because I'm looking at those x-rays that have your name on it. I'm looking at these x-rays that we just took that also have your name on it, and there are no tumors there. And you know what? I had made a ton of promises to the Lord. Lord, if you just heal my mom's knees, I promise to serve you. How many know I did not keep that promise at a young age? So I appreciate Hannah. Because that is a powerful story. She made a promise and she kept it. So the blessing really starts, as I see this and I understand it, with this mother's commitment. She was all in it. She was in it to win it. She made a promise to God and she kept it. And God blessed it. God did something supernatural. And every one of us here, all of us here, are the beneficiaries of that commitment. Amen. So this powerful story of this young man and the promise that his mom made, and that it is ultimately fulfilled. God heard a prayer. God answered the prayer. And here we have Samuel in this time where God's stirring, something's happening real powerful in his life. So two things I want to say. One is that God's blessing begins with someone, but God's blessing also begins somewhere. God's blessing begins with someone, but God's blessing also begins somewhere. And here's what I'd like to point out. Notice where Samuel is at. He is in the temple. Samuel is in the temple. So it's not just about the person, it's also about positioning. It's also about being in the presence of God. It's also about being in this place and space that God has appointed, that God has anointed, that God has determined to move and to speak and to fulfill God's purpose, plan, and promise. And so the blessing of God doesn't just start with someone, or it also starts with somewhere or some place that God has appointed for someone to be. And so here is this small child. Here is this boy, Samuel, that God is moving and that God is determining to speak to, that God is stirring, that is having a hard time sleeping at night because it is the voice of the Lord, because it is God at work. Couple of things that I'd like to note in terms of Samuel and that stirring. Number one, he was sensitive to the stirring. He was sensitive to the stirring. And I think there's a way that in our sensitivity, we have to be able to discern between last night's pizza and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Where sometimes we can miss it. We have to be able to discern between the pain that comes from this, the illness or the suffering, and the pain that is part of fulfillment of a promise of God's power moving mightily and powerfully. The pain that is the entryway, that it may be even a via dolorosa, that God says, I'm going to do something here. I'm at work in this. I'm moving in and through it to fulfill something in a greater and a mighty and a powerful way here. So sometimes we have to be able to discern. So there was a sensitivity there that he grows in, but the seed of sensitivity is present in his life. Number two, there's a willingness. There's a willingness in Samuel's young heart to serve and to minister alongside of the leadership. There's a willingness to serve, to jump in, to get your hands dirty, to get all wet. I love what Pastor Sammy said about me, because it's true. To have somebody's back, especially when they don't need you. Come on, somebody. To have somebody's back, not just when they do need you, but to have somebody's back, especially when they don't. There's a willingness to serve. There's a willingness to go all in. There's a willingness to lay one's hand to the plow. God places Samuel in a place, and God gets his attention. Number three, there is a desire to obey. There's a desire to obey God, to know God, to grow in God. And there's a desire to know that you only grow in God by living for God. You only grow in God, and the greater levels of obedience, the greater steps of faith, the greater ways that you allow God to enlarge not just your vision, but your heart. To enlarge not just your vision and your heart, but your steps of obedience. To enlarge your life. I like to think of Samuel's sensitivity to the Spirit, his willingness to obey, his desire to serve and live for the Lord as foundational elements. These are foundational ingredients. These are like mixing them all up and making some soup that is absolutely delicious and wonderful. If we were in the U.S., I'd say menudo. Anybody know about menudo, pozole? You know, all right, good. A couple of you guys here. You know, chicken soup is called caldo. You ever eat caldo? All right, you guys got to go to the U.S. Come visit me in the inner city of Santa Ana in a Latino neighborhood, and you'll be blessed with some caldo. But all these ingredients are already present. These ingredients are there. These ingredients are foundational elements that are present in his life. But here's something that's very interesting, that with all the ingredients, something else was missing. With all these ingredients present, something else was missing. Samuel still needed some instruction. Samuel, this young boy still needed some guidance, still needed some direction, still needed someone to speak into his life. The amazing aspect here is that God is stirring, God is ministering, God is pouring out, God is directing, God is grabbing a hold of. But at the same time, Samuel would not have been able to figure it out on his own. That's why he kept running to Eli. God was calling, God was stirring, but Samuel did not understand the calling, the tugging, the moving of God's Spirit in his life. Until his leader finally discerned what was going on. And it's in verse 8 that Eli finally was able to see and smell the coffee and know what was taking place. You know what it's like, Pastor Nate? Pastor Nate's the youth pastor here. It'd be like somebody in the youth calling Pastor Nate, saying, "Hey, Pastor Nate, did you call me?" And on his cell phone text, like 2 o'clock in the morning. Pastor Nate's like, "Why are you calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning?" Pastor Nate, didn't, and then the kid says, "Pastor Nate, didn't you call me? Didn't you call me? My phone was ringing off the hook. And I just clicked the answer button. And I thought it was you. I couldn't hear anything, but I thought it was you, Pastor Nate." And Pastor Nate's like, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I think your phone is broke. Go back to sleep." And then all of a sudden, like 10 or 15 later, the phone starts blowing up. And the kid answers the phone, and he presses it again. And it doesn't show the caller ID. And he figures, it's got to be Pastor Nate. "I'm ready, man. I want to serve. I want to live for the Lord. I want to do something great for God." And so he calls Pastor Nate. "Pastor Nate, hey, sorry I missed your call, Pastor Nate." Pastor Nate says, no, it wasn't me." "Are you sure, Pastor Nate? Just tell me, you know, what do we want to do? Is it time for early morning prayer? Or, you know, what time is it? It's 2:30 in the morning. Go back to sleep." And then the third time, finally, Pastor Nate says, "Hey, here's what I want you to do next time that phone rings." And he's able to speak, he's able to guide, he's able to direct. That's what happens in Samuel's life. That's what happens in Samuel's life. Like many young Christians, when God's dealing with them, even those that have been around the church for a long time, sometimes God's dealing and that we need further instructions. We need to realize what God is doing. Where do we go from here? What do we do? How do we do it? And we go to those who God has nurtured and grown and built up and strengthened and moved and empowered to do the work of the Lord. I love the house group ministry here and the Experience of God ministry here. But one of the things that I've appreciated and that I have grown to love and respect is also Pastor Sam and his ministry and the way the Lord has led him and guided him. And here's one of the things that I know, because my wife and I serve as associate pastors of an English Ministries church. Here's one of the things that I know, and I don't want anyone to miss. Don't miss this part. Samuel found his way, not just through the ingredients in the Bible, not even only or not only through the instruction that came from his senior leader, but through the submission and the obedience that his leader gave him. Through that submission and through that obedience, the leader said, "Stop blowing up my cell phone, man. It's not me calling you, it's the Lord." That stirring, that hunger, that thirst, that thing is not allowing you to settle, is because you have something to settle with the Lord. And so there's a sense in which Samuel's blessing, Samuel's calling, Samuel's next step in his journey comes through submission and obedience to the direction of the man of God in his life. Can I just say something about my own walk with the Lord and our ministry and our leadership? You know, that's what God has done for me in my life. At Templo Calvario Church, our pastor, his name is Pastor Daniel De Leon Sr. God has used him in an amazing way. You see, part of my story is that I've grown up. I grew up in a single parent household with a single mom and five crazy kids, and craziness was like our middle name. So as a Christian, God began to place people in my lives to spiritually mentor me and to spiritually father me or to spiritually refather me. And so God placed great men in my life. And one of the reasons that I have been able to grow and to push through and to do the things that I was able to do was because of not just the sensitivity to the Spirit, not just the willingness, not just the hunger and the desire, not just the instruction that I have received, because I've been able to study with some of the best and the brightest. But it was also through the submission, through the obedience, that God has blessed my mess and turned it into a blessing. That God has rebuilt from the wreckage of our family and of our lives. That God made something beautiful come out of the ashes of our story. How many know he's still making beautiful things come out of the dust? Amen? It has been through the submission and the obedience. And that's what I see as a major key to what the Lord had for Samuel in his life. It came through submission and obedience to the instruction that was given. Do we end at 11? Do we end at 11? And so here's something that I was sensing in terms of parenting and that blessing starting with Hannah's life, and then the child coming forth and the baby being born, and then the keeping one's promise and fulfilling that promise, and then the Lord blessing that promise and nurturing that promise. And then it's the child of promise that comes with these ingredients, that comes with the spiritual inheritance, that when mixed together and positioned in the right place, the word of the Lord comes, but it comes in such a way that it requires further clarity. It requires further understanding. It requires direction. It requires instruction. And the instruction comes through the man of God that was in that young person's life. Here's the downside of that. The downside of that is when we don't follow and we don't obey and we don't submit and we don't follow through. My wife and I have counseled time and time again. We have counseled young and old, married and single alike. And it's funny because when you're in a counseling session, it's like God gives you wisdom. God gives you vision. God gives you understanding. God gives you clarity. You begin to see things that, you know, that the Lord shows you, and you start speaking into people's life and you think, man, this is the word of the Lord for you. And then you share that word of the Lord. And sometimes, man, people just go do like the exact opposite. And you're like, no. It was all set, man. God had spoken. God was moving. This was it. And you'll find sometimes that the place that we fall short in is in the obedience. And that obedience really is a product of our submission. Not just to the Lord, but to the leadership that God places over us. Here's what happens with the leadership. God gives an umbrella anointing over leadership and over a church. God places an umbrella anointing over leadership and over a church. And when we begin to operate in ministry there, spiritual authority, spiritual power, spiritual anointing comes because we're operating within the umbrella anointing of the leadership and of that church and the anointing that God has placed on that church to do the work that God's called them to do. And so when we submit, we participate. We come under that blessing. We also come under that empowerment. Let me show it to you in a different way if you're single, just in case there's some single people in the house. You know, when I was single and I started dating my wife, and a lot of things that I've had to learn just about following Jesus and living right and serving the Lord has come out of watching my wife's family and being able to benefit from the spiritual inheritance and their lives, because my wife comes from a pastoral family. Her parents are pastors and ministers. She grew up in the ministry and went to Bible school and Bible ministry and called by God to serve the Lord, and we've been in it together, amen, ever since. But I learned something as a single person. It's kind of a funny story. So here am I, here I am, praise the Lord. I was telling my wife, here am I, speak because your servant is listening, but it didn't work for a long time, boy. But here I was chasing my wife around. Finally, man, after about 6-7 months, you know, God speaks to her too. And, you know, she repented of all of her sins and gave up to Jesus and got set free, right? Freedom came. It was Freedom Sunday, boy. She got set free. I'm probably going to get it for that joke, but that's all right. And then we start dating, and God begins to solidify some things in her heart, and we got engaged, and we're engaged. I've graduated from Fuller Seminary. I'm in full-time ministry. I was a public school teacher, and I was a youth pastor, and so I was doing all these things. Things are rolling right along. She lived in San Diego, and I used to have to drive like an hour and a half to go hang out and see her and date, and then I'd drive back. And so there we weren't like in a long-distance relationship. And one day I go and I'm 3 hours of traffic, and I get there and like, oh man, I was really trying to get her earlier. And her father talks to her and says, hey, you got to be back at 10 o'clock. And so I just pulled up, and so she comes out and she says, hey, I have to be back at 10 o'clock. I'm like, oh my God, 10 o'clock? That's like 3 or 4 hours from right now. You've got to be kidding me. And she says, no, my dad said I have to be back at 10 o'clock. I said, that is impossible. I said, wait a second, man, you know, I did all this suffering, all this driving, I'm grown, I'm a man, you know, I got a call in the ministry, and God's doing all these great things in the night. Why do we have to be back at 10 o'clock? My wife turned around and told me something very important. Here's what she says. She says, we have to be back at 10 o'clock because my father is my covering. You're not my covering. She said, and the day that we're married, you will be my covering. And then she said, and when our children are born, we will be their covering. And you will be the head of that home. And God's blessing will be on you too. And basically she was saying to me, all we have to do is honor my Father and my covering. And that's what I'm asking of you. You know what I've learned? That's not just true in relationships and dating. That's also true in the church. It's true in the ministry of the church and the leadership of the church and the way God's blessing flows and in the way God's blessing grows. And I am a product. And I'm standing here today because of the man of God, Pastor Danny DeLeon Sr., the man of God God put in our lives that has been a tremendous blessing to my life, to my leadership, to our marriage, and to that which God is continuing to do. And that's the part that I think is absolutely essential to the story and the great thing that God's done. So in a few minutes, I'm going to wrap it up. I just want to tell you a story about Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley is the mother of Jonathan Wesley. And I teach a class at Vanguard University, Christian Heritage, and I talk about Susanna Wesley and her powerful life and her powerful legacy, because a lot of who Jonathan Wesley eventually becomes to be flows from his upbringing, flows from the powerful influence and the nurturing, the guidance, the development that took place under his mother's leadership. And Susanna Wesley essentially had 20 kids in a 19-year span. Yeah, stop to think about it. That's hardcore right there, boy. 20 children, or 19 children in 20 years. I had that confused, backed up. 19 and 20. Half of them passed. And so I think it's about 9 that actually survive. And so Jonathan Wesley and Charles Wesley are part of that number. And Susanna Wesley essentially homeschools her children, every single one of them, 6 hours a day, about 6 days a week, rest on the Sabbath. And she has this tutoring session where they have alone time with mom on Thursday nights. And Jonathan Wesley is quoted as saying that was the most exciting day of the week for him. And those are, this is mentoring relationship that came from his mother was so powerful. And Susanna Wesley made sure that everyone was learned, had an education, and she taught them how to pray, how to obey, how to listen to God, how to accept discipline, and how to yield, and how to suffer through. Their home was burnt twice, burnt down to the ground 2 times. One of those times, Jonathan Wesley was almost burnt alive, rescued jumping out of a second floor window as a small child. Her husband was thrown in debtor's prison because he had a hard time managing his money, and he was an Anglican minister, and just really difficult sense of making their way forward. So all these difficulties, all these struggles, and she gives birth to great, great children. And all throughout Jonathan Wesley's ministry, he constantly goes back to conversations with his mother that continue to guide him and lead him and direct him and speak into his life and his ministry. Susanna Wesley also started a little home Bible study. Had about 200-300 people that used to meet in her kitchen. And God used her in a great way, but it's a tremendous legacy. Look at what happens. Jonathan Wesley emerges. God uses him as an outdoor itinerant preacher. Ministry starts in Bristol in England. God uses him for small group ministry that from the Moravians. He took that concept and used it in amazing ways, in small group ministry. God uses him as an itinerant preacher, outdoor evangelism, crusade. Jonathan Wesley is reported to have traveled 250,000 miles before there were airplanes. Come on now. To have preached about 40,000 sermons. And he credits the obedience and the discipline, obedience to God in his life, to what he learned from his mother. Out of the Methodist movement comes another lady, a good old-time, charismatic, spirit-filled woman out of the holiness movement. Her name was Phoebe Palmer. She developed what's called altar call theology. For her, she saw the altar as where people came and laid their lives down on the altar of Christ, and where they were purified, where they were sanctified, where they had power encounters with the Lord. Out of that holiness movement comes this great old school Pentecostal revival preacher named William Seymour in Azusa Street. And from Azusa, revival that impacted the world. It's just very interesting tracing the spiritual heritage and the spiritual inheritance in all the different elements that go in to a great move of God. And here's something that I'm going to close with this. If you guys could just stand, I could have somebody on the keyboard. Here's what I believe. I was praying about this. And the Lord was directing me to the spiritual inheritance that has gone into this church. From Pastor Sam's family to Pastor Sam and the ministries that I know that you were a part of and the things that God's done in your life. And in the next service, if you're able to be here for the next service, I'll explain this a little bit more. But it's like there were many years of plenty poured into Solomon's porch. And these many years of plenty were like God storing up, like God stockpiling, like God shoring up this blessing. Because these years of plenty would be prepared, positioned, put in place, readied for a great need that would arise, for a great need that would be to come. In the next service, I'm speaking about Joseph and the unstoppable blessing, but the point is this. Is it that time of famine in the land isn't necessarily a physical famine or a material famine as much as it is a spiritual famine. And the needs in the land are great. They are great. When I saw, I think, a total of 7 missions trips that were planned, just about 7 missions trips that are upcoming and planned, I said, praise the Lord. That really confirmed in my heart this word that God was giving me, that God had poured out God's blessing into Solomon's porch. I believe we're 14 years. These years of plenty, these years of shoring up, building up, pouring into, these years of just a mighty move of God, just an outpouring of just a spiritual abundance that God has set in place, that God has set in order to meet a need, in order to minister to the needs of the people, and a spiritual famine that is sweeping and that is coming, that we are facing, that we are up against, that, good Lord, not sure that we've seen before. But that God is shored up, that God is blessed, that God is positioned. And that the peoples of the earth, that the nations of the earth would come here for food, for spiritual food. That the nations of the earth would make their way through desert lands, through wastelands, through difficulties, trials, seeking what the Lord has deposited and what the Lord has stored up in Solomon's porch. And it will be because of the answer. Pastor, so much for like the Lord's telling me, God has just seen your submission, your obedience, your faithfulness to that call, your determination, the unshakable determination, the seeds that were sown early on in obedience to God and commitment and sacrificing and surrendering all things for the calling of God. That the Lord has seen that, the Lord had blessed that, the Lord intends to multiply it exponentially that the seed that was sown will bear fruit, unimaginable fruit, beyond your wildest dreams, and that the storehouses are to be opened, the storehouses are to be unleashed, the lock is to be broken open, so that the floodgates of God's Spirit, of God's anointing, can sweep over the desolate lands, the dry lands, the needy lands, the hard-hit lands, the famine that is overtaking the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I also felt that God was giving me a word for families. God was giving me a word for families, for not just the Hannahs in our midst, but the moms and dads, the husbands and wives, that God is calling to turn your heart to Him in greater ways than ever before. That God is calling to turn your heart to Him and to one another and the many others in your surrounding and in your circle of influence. That God is calling to turn towards Him, so that He can pour through and He can use in mighty ways, in powerful ways, and in greater ways. Also feel like God's given me a word for single people. For single people that God's desiring to launch out, that God's desiring to touch, that God's desiring to pour through, that God sees and God knows and God recognizes. And you're like an instrument in God's hand. You're like an arrow in God's quiver. God's desiring to pour in and through you in fresh ways and in greater ways. And as an arrow in the quiver of the Lord, God's got purpose. God has destinies. God has plans. And that you'll discover God's purpose and God's plans, and you're following Him and you're obeying Him and you're surrendered to Him. And there is a blessing here for the children. There is a blessing here for the children, a very special place and space for the Spirit of the Lord to stir at an early age, to pour through at an early age, to call into ministry at an early age, to be used by God at an early age. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Pastor Sam to come on up as we open up this time in the altar.
We're going to sing a song together in a moment, but you know, as we've been doing the rest of this year, we felt the Lord say, open up the altars every service and just give people an opportunity to spend time with the Lord. And so if the message has spoken to you in any way, or you just sense the Holy Spirit just leading you in some way, just come up to the front as we do and just kneel before the Lord, and Pastor Tommy, myself, will come and just pray hands and lay hands and pray for you guys. And as a worship team, Pastor Nate just leads us in a song. Huh? So can we do that?
Thank you. great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven, and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done?
Pastor Tommy is going to lead us in our benediction. Let's rise to our feet. And
may the Lord bless you and be with you. May the Spirit of God pour in and through you in your hunger and your thirst for Him. And in your desire to know Him, may you find Him and encounter Him in powerful ways every day. And may you grow in greater levels of obedience. And may that obedience lead to supernatural works. The supernatural work of the Lord in you and through you for the kingdom of God. The Lord bless you, Christ.